neighborhood church, transforming your congregation into a powerhouse for mission. That's the name of the text that we're engaging over these next four Sundays as part of a church-wide book read. So between the two services, just after the 9 o'clock and before this one, during our fellowship and formation hour, we're having conversations. We're creating art. We had some very brave crafters in our midst today. And we are gathering around tables to explore the themes of this text. But we're also drawing connections between the book and scripture during our worship services. So today, we consider what it means to be a neighborhood mustard seed church. First, it means that we are serious about what the authors call incarnational mission. In other words, we are trying to personify God's purposes in the world just like Jesus did. We ask ourselves personally, how can we enflesh values of love and grace and justice? As faith communities, how can our collective embodiment of these values shine even brighter? Second, being a neighborhood mustard seed church means that such an incarnational mission, living and loving and enacting justice like Jesus, that is the most central commitment and metric for the faithfulness of our communal living. That means we should regularly be asking ourselves, what kind of neighbor is our church? For what are we known in the wider community? And perhaps most importantly, would anyone outside of our membership miss us if we were gone? These are challenging questions because they call us to focus not solely on ourselves or self-preservation, not on our membership or our budget or our programs, but to focus instead primarily on the needs that exist in our midst outside these walls. And it calls us to focus on our gifts, spiritual and material, for meeting those needs and for creating change with and for our neighbors, especially those whom Jesus was most concerned. The last and the least, those experiencing poverty, grief, isolation, those experiencing oppression and injustice. What kind of neighbor is the church? How can there be so many churches and so little transformation? Many adults around my age are asking this poignant question. Us millennials, folks who were born between 1981 and the mid-90s, we who are now between 26 and 40 are known for a healthy skepticism about the institutional church, even when we have a deep love of and belief in Jesus. The authors of Neighborhood Church point toward the findings of Reverend Mark Iaconelli, who Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary hired to hang out with and listen to millennials, asking good questions and listening deeply to their responses. And here's what the book describes about his findings. He discovered that millennials seek a way to incarnate their passions. Passion for a just world, passion for a less judgmental church, passion for service that actually makes a difference, passion for a sustainable lifestyle. These desires drive them to act, to incarnate, to take risks by becoming the change they seek for our world. This, friends, is another form of incarnational mission. It's a desire for ministries that fill the gaps that economic, educational, and judicial systems have been unable to address. It's a different way to be the church. It's a different life of faith for congregations who want to be vital and relevant. As the authors write through Jesus's parable, a truth becomes clear. If we want to enter this kingdom, this new way of being in relationship with God and each other, it requires risk and radical realignment. To say thy kingdom come is a revolutionary confession of willingness. Being a neighborhood mustard seed church is risky. It asks a lot of us. Our posture must be one of forgiveness and mercy, authenticity and humility, peace and justice, servanthood and love. We are called to kinship and proximity to those most in need, no longer strangers. Instead, we are neighbor to all. And that proximity, it changes us. We have no choice but to embrace a new kind of community, a new focus, a different way to gather, a different kind of faith. One that can let go, lean in, hold on, and reach out. You see, in a neighborhood and mustard seed church, faith begins by letting go. Faith begins by taking a fistful of seeds and scattering them to the wind and trusting them to the soil and the rains and God. Even if we are to plant each seed carefully and tenderly into the earth, though we can water, we cannot do what the sun and the soil do amongst themselves. It is a risk. We can only sleep and rise day and night, watching with awe as the seeds sprout, or watching with dismay as they don't. Either way, we don't know how. Faith begins by letting go, by letting a fistful of stories fly, scattering them to the wind, and trusting them to the barista, the teacher, the unhoused person on the corner, and God. Even if we plant each story carefully and tenderly into the lives of those we meet, though we can share, we can't do what the listener and the spirit and the words do amongst themselves. It is a risk. We can only sleep and rise day and night, watching with awe as the stories sprout and grow, or watching with dismay as they don't. Either way, we don't know how. Faith begins by letting go, by letting a fistful of hopes fly, scattering them to the wind, trusting them to the elders, the deacons, the trustees, and all of you other ministry partners, and God. Even if we plant each missional dream carefully and tenderly into the world, though we can plan, we cannot do what the community and the spirit and the vision do amongst themselves. It is a risk. We can only sleep and rise day and night, watching with awe as God's peace and love, shalom and hesed, grow, or watching with dismay as they don't. Either way, we don't know how. Faith endures by holding on, by tiny roots from an even tinier seed sinking themselves into the rich earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up to become the shrubbiest shrub, the weediest weed, the herbiest herb, the most persistent and transformative vegetation the landscape has ever seen. It takes a little faith to see the sacred in the ordinary, but this is so ordinary, it's absurd. And yet, trust and shade and rest emerge. Branches bear fruit. It is enough. Faith endures by holding on. Tiny connections from an even tinier story taking root in an open heart. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the most authentic care. Shared vulnerability, the most persistent and transformative relationships that our communities have ever seen. It takes a little faith to see the sacred in the ordinary, but this is so ordinary, it's absurd. And yet rest and shade and home for those once lonely emerge. Stories bear fruit. It is enough. Faith endures by holding on. Tiny changes from an even tinier hope take root in a broken and hurting creation. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the deepest peace, the truest love, the most persistent and transformative abundance the world has ever seen. It takes a little faith to see the sacred in the ordinary, but this is so ordinary, it is absurd. And yet, rest and shade and home for all emerges, and the kingdom of God bears fruit. It is enough. Faith matures by reaching out. Seeds have become roots, have become branches, have become fruit, have become seeds again. Faith matures by reaching out. Stories have become connections, have become relationships, have become love, have become stories again. Faith matures by reaching out. Hope has become vision, has become mission, has become outreach, has become hope again. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? It is like a mustard seed. It's a mustard seed story. It's a mustard seed faith. Faith begins by letting go. Faith endures by holding on. Faith matures by reaching out. From here to kingdom come, may we be a mustard seed neighborhood church, friends, this day and each day. Amen.